Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. Yes, sir. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And Ben, Alabama stole one of our commits. It's time to panic. I mean, it's time to panic. We haven't had a commit in like 48 hours.
We haven't gotten a commit in the last 48 hours, even though you and I have been doing our job of recording. And every time we hit record, we were getting a commit before. And that's just not happening anymore. We need to switch the juju up. And
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. These guys don't know how to recruit. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
This Golish is who we thought he was.
He's exactly who we thought he was.
Everything that the South Florida fans said about him is coming true right now.
That's the way that I'm reading when I'm reading some of the Alabama comments about how excited they are to flip an Auburn commit. That's the way I feel like they think we are going to be reacting over this.
Yeah. They're, and the thing is if you go to some of them, especially on Twitter or X or whatever anybody wants to call it now, the people that are chirping back at them are just crucifying them. Like,
it's perfect. So funny. So if you don't know what's going on, Cedric Simmons, the wide receiver from Selma, Alabama, lifelong Alabama fan, all his families, his mama, his daddy, his cousins, everybody, they're all Alabama fans, like every one of them. So it was kind of a shock at the beginning, and we laughed about it because we were like, dang, Alabama can't even get
a kid that pulls for him.
Can't even get their lifelong Alabama fans.
Got one kid that's named after him.
You do. He's got a nickname. I mentioned him this morning. I like Cedric Simmons. I think he can be a really nice player. He led the state in receiving last year. But let's call this what it is, okay? Let's call this what it is. Alabama's recruiting class is trash. Absolute hot garbage. And they are reaching for anything that they can point to as a win right now for momentum.
A sign of life. Just
they went and got a quarterback for 2028 that I tell you what, I'll go on record now. I'll be shocked if he signs with Alabama. Okay. And then they got an offensive lineman, supposedly like a four-star offensive lineman.
How many
lineman.
Quarterbacks is that for them?
Well, it's two for 2027 and one for 2028 right now.
I thought they already had another one for 2028. And I was like,
they may.
I was like, may. I don't know. Quarterbacks on staff next in 2028.
That they might. I don't know. Regardless, they did that. They got an offensive lineman, and now they're like, let's keep the momentum rolling. So let's see if we can flip one of Auburn's lowest-rated commitments. And I don't mean that as any knock on Cedric Simmons. It's just the fact that he was one of Auburn's lowest-rated commitments. I know that stars don't tell the whole story, and I think Cedric Simmons is probably a little bit better than a three-star, but that just goes to show you where they're having to dig for wins right now.
Yeah, I think the key thing of the ones that are going after those wins and pumping their chest and, you know, banging on their chest and that kind of stuff, I think that they forget how – like, Kyle, 10 years ago, they wouldn't have cared if the kid's grandmother graduated from Alabama. He didn't have like 4.5 to 5 stars. They just weren't interested. And now this is a big win for him. And is it more of a win for him because of the athlete he is or because he was committed to Auburn? So now they think that they've pulled one over on Golish and staff.
Ben, you're right. They have two commits in the 2028 class.
Yeah.
Two quarterback commits.
Two quarterback commits, yes.
Hey, they're the number two class in the country in 2028 right now.
Yeah, with you got two quarterbacks coming in 2027. Now you got two more in 2028.
That's crazy.
On the board, let's go ahead and get two for 2029. Let's get six out there on staff, man.
I don't know. I don't know how that management piece makes sense.
No, because they're highly rated too, and you and I have talked about get on the field. Like if you're not going to get on the field, I understand that you've been told your whole life that you're a 4 or 5 star and you should be playing collegiate football with a major program. But when you see that they've got 5 in the quarterback room and they want you, it's like, bro, I got to go somewhere where I can play. I mean, because that's not just development, Kyle. That's development and beating out 4 other dudes. And it's just, Or what's going to happen to you is a Deuce Knight situation where Deuce left here to go get playing time and he's still sitting behind somebody. So exactly. Go play somewhere.
Yeah. I say all this, you know, joking around. But I have seen some Auburn fans like, okay, what's going on? We lost a recruit to Alabama, like blah, 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 blah. Where our rankings dropping. We're 13th now in the country instead of top 10. And, like, look, here's the thing about the class. It's super deep. You fill a lot of needs, but you don't have that – what's the best way to call this? You don't really have that blockbuster guy in this class. Like, you don't have that guy that's probably a year one starter. Johnson-Cook, maybe.
We got him out of the portal.
Yeah. And again, we're not talking about quarterbacks specifically, but Leighton Von Brandt maybe could start day one at right tackle. But like, you don't have those day one starters, but you have a ton of like year two starters.
Yeah.
A ton of them, I think. And that's totally fine. But when you lack that high end firepower, it's hard to climb up the rankings, even if, you know, you got a bunch of four stars. Like Auburn has, gosh, out of 25 commits, you got how many four stars? 14 or something like that?
Okay, so while you're looking through that, Kyle, answer me this.
Okay.
If as soon as Hugh was let go and as soon as Alex Golish came on board, if I told you, hey, this dude's going to hit the ground running, we're going to have a top 25 recruiting class, would you have taken it?
Top 25, I would have been like, okay, like what's that mean? Is that like 22nd? Because that's not good.
Yeah,
but to me, top 15, anything in the top 15, like Auburn's going to be traditionally, like even when they recruit their best, between like 8th and 12th.
Yeah.
So if you're anything around that, I think that's totally adequate, especially with the way the transfer portal is now.
And maybe I'm skeptical then, because I didn't think we'd be in the top 25 when he first got hired.
No, I didn't either. I thought that's not what I was.
Yeah,
his first year
being top 25 out of 10. I mean, my expectations will grow as he continues to stay. But the night he was hired, or Sunday afternoon he was hired, and you know, somebody was like, "Okay, so what did this guy do? He was here, he was there." Because I mean, he came on late. I mean, his name was talked about, you know, at one point, but I don't think everybody still was putting a lot of apples in Lane's basket, and as well as Summerall's basket, and. Over the last few years, Lane with Hugh, Summerall with Golish. And so if Sunday afternoon, if you said, all right, bear with me, this first year we'll have a top 25 recruiting class. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll see. I probably would have.
This is a good thought experiment. When you say top 25, he'll have a top 25 recruiting class. Well, the number one class is inside the top 25.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Does that mean you think he'll have the number 25 recruiting class?
No. That means anything basically 26 or worse would have been unacceptable in my opinion. Like I would have liked – I wanted him 25 or better in year one. Now, I will move those expectations, like you said, in year two to probably top 15. It needs to be top 15 here, because to maintain what you just talked about, stay in that 8 to 12.
If he would have had the 23rd – recruiting class, if we have end up having the 23rd recruiting class ranking, you would have been okay with that year one?
Yes.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't. Because that's like dead. That's almost, I mean, that's like last in the SEC.
It ain't 60th like somebody else I know.
Well, they're not last in the SEC right now. They're 13th. So, and they're on three, they're up to 32nd or whatever, which is, I mean, I'm not like acting like that's phenomenal. I'm just saying like 22nd, that would have put us close to the bottom. I mean, Kentucky's at 22.
Yeah.
I don't want to ever recruit. I don't think there's ever, with Auburn's resources, I don't think there's ever a reason to be around the 22nd unless you're just not taking a, you know, maybe not taking a big class, but the way they calculate rankings now, you would just get, if it's only 15, as long as it's 15 of the best players that you can get, then your ranking's going to be a little bit higher because of those high ranking kids. I don't know. I'm just saying, I guess all I'm saying is We are recruiting. Alex Golish is recruiting on par with some of the better recruiting coaches that we can point to of the recent past. And I did not think he would be able to do that year one. So I would have been still been disappointed. I would have been like, see, I told you so. If he was in the, you know, mid to low 20s, but the fact that he's done what he's done is to me way better than what I expected.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or did I say way too much?
No, no. I mean, that's essentially you're saying what I'm saying. What he's doing is has been way better his first, like this first year, because I didn't know what we were getting. So my expectations were that, man, Auburn could finish outside the top 25 in recruiting. I see what your point about Kentucky being 22 and, you know, where Auburn ranks in the SEC. But also, I was taking into account – there are a lot of other factors, like first-year coach that I was taking into account right there as well. So,
I guess what I'm saying is we both felt like we were unsure about how they could recruit.
Yes.
But 22nd is failing to me at Auburn.
Yes.
23rd is a failing.
Even in year one. Okay.
Even in year one.
Okay.
Is a failing grade, in my opinion, at all.
So you like your cake and eat it too, which is the dumbest saying ever. But
yeah, I don't understand that saying. Let's break that one down. You want to have your cake and eat it too. Yes.
Yes. That's the purpose
of actually
ordering cake.
How do you eat a cake that you don't have?
I guess you take somebody else's. I don't know.
Do you want to own the cake and eat it too? Like what does that mean?
I know. I actually want to
look that up. Go ahead and talk.
We got off on something. But that's what I'm saying is, but that's what you want. Like you're like, he's exceeded my expectations. But you know what? 22 would have sucked if we'd have been down there at number 22, right?
Okay, here we go. This kind of makes sense. Have your cake and eat it too is an idiom meaning you cannot simultaneously enjoy two mutually exclusive or conflicting things. Once you consume the cake, it's gone, then you no longer can possess it. So it's like, I want to eat my cake, but I still want to have my cake too.
Still stupid. Sorry.
Makes a little bit more sense that way.
Yeah, it's just.
It's like, I want to eat it, but I also want to be able to see it in that little dish with the glass dome over it on the
counter. That doesn't do me. I don't care what it looks like. If it tastes good, I'm ready to eat it.
It's comforting. It's comforting to just always be able to see that cake there for when you're eating dinner. Like especially if it's in your sight line, it's comforting to see it. But once you eat it, it's gone. And then you don't have that comfort anymore. Then you're like, dang, I either got to go buy another cake or I got to make another one. I don't want that. I want to eat my cake and I want it to stay there. Can't do that.
Okay.
We just broke that. I think that was phenomenal, by the way.
No, it was a good breakdown. I mean, it's still stupid. It's still a stupid saying.
But I don't think it's stupid anymore. I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
I get the purpose behind it. I understand the logic behind it. Still think it's stupid.
What's another crazy idiom that like never has made sense to you? Can you think of one off the top of your head?
No, not talking about, like most of it makes sense. The one that my sister has trouble with, and she just doesn't understand numbers when somebody says 6-1, half dozen the other.
You don't get that one?
No, she doesn't get that. Like my sister, she always goes, that's stupid. Like, what does that mean? I was like, 6 is a half dozen. So you either need to say 6 or a half dozen.
But they both mean the same thing.
Right.
It's like,
that's why they say it's 6-1, half dozen to the other. Like,
yeah.
So Kyle says 6. I say it's a half dozen. We're both right.
Yeah.
But she doesn't get that. She's like, that makes no sense. I was like, it makes total sense.
My wife said something one time. And after she said it, I made her repeat it because I had no idea what it meant.
Oh, I got one. You just said wife. I got one now. Go ahead.
So I can't remember exactly where we were. I want to say we were in either Gulf Shores or Orange Beach. And I know where we were. We were at the wharf in Orange Beach. And we drove by and there was a certain shop that was having a grand opening. And I can't remember what the shop was, what the name was, and I don't even know if she ended up being right about this, but it was something odd for that particular area, like something that didn't fit. You know what I'm talking about? Like a shop in a spot where it just doesn't belong. She says, That won't be there two foggy mornings.
I don't know that one.
I never heard that one before. I made her say that again. I would assume that would mean just it's foggy mornings a lot. I don't know.
I guess that means it won't be there very long because you don't have back-to-back foggy morning. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know.
My wife would say, and I know what it means, but I hate the saying. She'd go, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free?
Now, I've heard that one before too, but it was not. I mean, it's usually for very provocative reasons.
Yes. Why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? I'm like, that's stupid.
No, it's not stupid. It makes total sense. Why am I going to buy? Why would I go invest when I can just go get what I want from what I'm investing in for free? It makes total sense. You can use it for essentially like one scenario.
How many cows have you thought about buying for your milk? Not one.
No, but it may. Exactly.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things. Like, never mind. We're going to go off the edge.
Yeah, you don't want to go off that road. Yeah.
Anyway,
I think three stars. I think that'll do it. That's a
which one's worse, this one or the FBI episode? This one's pretty good.
Oh, it's the FBI episode by far.
Yeah, that was the worst one ever. You know, somebody messaged me, Ben, and they were like, hey, look, I want to look it up because I want to give them a shout out. I know that you guys didn't like your FBI episode. But Miss Ginger, she said, I loved it. I love learning more about the FBI. I was like, I tell you what, I'm glad that you did because I hated it as it was going on.
Oh, gosh. Once we were 6 minutes into it, I was like, I don't know where we're going with this now because now I don't like it. I hate it. And I hate Kyle even thought about this topic.
Yeah.
And I think
5 minutes in, I was like, get me out of here.
I think it showed the rest of the episode. So I'm glad Miss Ginger enjoyed it because we clearly didn't enjoy doing it.
No, I didn't always enjoy recording. But yeah, that particular topic I felt like was a snoozer. But hey, you never know what's going to land. So there's going to be, I guarantee you, I can't wait to see the comments in this one. Once we hit the idiom section, I want y'all to let me know what your favorite idiom is that's uncommon. And then we might look them up and play them on the next show.
You've legit got the most uncommon one. I've never heard
two foggy mornings. Won't be there. She was saying that it won't last.
Yeah, exactly. I knew what she was saying. I just have never heard that. I've never heard that saying.
Yeah.
I got what it meant. Like when she said that, like that's not going to be there very long.
It's not very foggy in Auburn very often. So I'm like, dang, that's quite some time, you know? I can't remember the last two foggy mornings. All right, let's get out of here. I mean, it's just like we're just spiraling. Y'all have a great rest of the day. We'll talk again tomorrow. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.